Can I be honest? I just spent $19 during Prime Days buying a little ring that you wear on your finger.
Right.
That you push a button. It's a Bluetooth, and you push a button, and it scrolls up and down through your TikToks. And now
what's happening? Right.
Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty in this safe space. But please say everything you just said again. What now?
Hello and welcome to episode number 526 of The Popcast. I'm one of your hosts, Max McCoy.
And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The Popcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things entertaining but do not matter.
To find out more about these linguistical pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Popcast, and we're on Twitter at PodcastPod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be adding to our cultural vocabulary.
But before we do that, you guys, there are only 2 weeks left to snag something delightful from our merch shop. Now, we have a long-sleeved, short-sleeved, and sweatshirt version of a new design called Educated. So it reads Educated on the front, like a college sweatshirt. And on the back, it reads On Things That Entertain But Don't Matter. There are 6 different sticker packs that include some favorite new stickers like Cringe But Free, My BFFs Are Podcasters, and then we brought back the very popular Weapons Are Fist, and then we have literally a dozen more. We have a newly designed Cozy Overdose Seat, embroidered sweatshirt and beanie, plus we have a pin pack and a mystery pin option, where if you order the mystery pin, which is, by the way, the best-selling product that we, it's like, wow. Like it's unreal how many people are getting the mystery pins. And 10 of you, when you order the mystery pin, you might receive the Golden Knox pin that gets you a year's membership in our Patreon community as a BFOTS. Now, speaking of BFOTS, they received a code in their Patreon DMs to save 20% off their entire order. So you can become a BFOTS before November 1st, and you too can get a 20% off code. We invite you to smooch this collection, marry your favorite item, and kill all other holiday gift ideas. Head to knoxandjamie.shop or click the link in the show notes to snag all the merchy goodness.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
All right, Jamie, it's time to talk Urban Dictionary. It's been a minute. I've missed a year.
We've not done one of these in a year. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I think we're pretty teed up. There's a lot of different words that I'm really excited to talk about. But before we do that, do you want to kind of like, for people who don't know or new listeners, maybe summarize like what is Urban Dictionary?
Just in case Chuck and Jan are listening for the first time ever. So Chuck and Jan, Urban Dictionary is a crowdsourced online dictionary of slang words and phrases. It operates under the motto, Define Your World. Now, it was founded in 1999 by Aaron Peckham, who was a freshman at Cali Poly Tech State University, San Luis Obispo.
Yeah.
I'm sure I messed that up in every way. Urban Dictionary was the first ongoing series we ever launched at the podcast in July of 2014. And it came about because of listener Christina Charlotte, who wrote, I would listen to an entire podcast where you and Knox read entries from Urban Dictionary, Education, and Hilarity. And fun fact, Urban Dictionary was the last episode we recorded before the pandemic Lovato lockdown.
That is a fun operative word there, you know, depending on how you interpret that. Yeah,
it is. But we've incorporated a ton. I saw my brother in the doctor's office and he was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I have pretendinitis.
Yeah.
And he was like, I work in the Air Force. Please go away. And
did you think he was going to know what that was? Like, was there any point to making that joke to him?
100% no.
Now you said he was in his like fatigues and I asked you if you saluted him.
He was on his
you didn't answer my question. Did you salute him?
No, I did not salute him.
Did you say thank you for your service?
No.
God, wow.
Again, as a reminder, honestly, he's a meteorologist in the Air Force. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. It does matter. But like everybody needs to calm down. Like,
you know what? I feel really confident and comfortable saying Knox loves teachers. Knox loves the troops. Knox loves the troops.
I love the military. I'm my brother, my dad.
Right. But you won't salute them or thank them for their service. Got it. No, that makes sense.
That's fair.
Totally makes sense. I'm a lifelong learner and I love adding new words to my vocabulary. I remember, I think we did an episode where we learned that liquid zoo, that's just another name for aquarium. Yes. I love that. That's so good.
That's so good.
This is where I learned about soaking, a rumored Mormon practice that the way you guys reacted makes me, I wasn't going to define it, but I kind of feel like I need to define it now. You know?
Yeah, tell the group what it is.
So ask your Google, be like, hey, Google, hey, Alexa, what is soaking? You know, and just see what happens. Let us know on social what that is. Now, there was, you know, at the live show, we end the show with some games. And one of the ender games that we use is, we do Urban Dictionary. We called it Urban Fictionary, right?
Yes.
And we would make one of our guests guess a definition. I actually found a definition on Urban Dictionary. Jamie and Jason joining us today. If you guys would be so bold, do you want to care? Just take a swing. No wrong answers. No one's judging you. This is okay. This is a safe space. Okay. I found a word. It's called pickle fall. I wanted to honor Erin not being here with us today because she took a fall at pickleball. I found pickle fall. Do you want to guess what that means?
When you lose your upraised diglet.
When you lose, God, that's really good. That's really good. That's why Viagra exists. Very good. Very good. That's Jason, give a guess.
I'm thinking that this is a limp Vlasic pickle.
Wow. Okay. A limp.
Sometimes you get the pickle that's strong and it can stand up on its own.
Oh, it's not a euphemism. You're talking about actual.
Literally, yeah. That's why I said Vlasic. That is a brand that is not a brand with the blue pill.
I literally thought you said flaccid. I was like, I did not know you said Vlasic.
Is
that
Vlasic.
Why they call them Vlasic pickles?
Oh my gosh. Is that, I'm not buying that brand anymore.
Oh my God.
I thought, because like Vlasic, that's the circumcised pickle. And then there's some that are just whole pickles, right? Like
what?
Uncut.
No, Vlasic is a brand.
Makes everything. Yeah.
No, I know it's a brand, but I feel like it's notorious for the circumcised pickles, right? Not the whole pickles.
I think they all have. Listen,
it's 2023. Yeah, kind of like a spear. Oh,
okay. They all have all types. You know what I mean?
All pickles matter here at the podcast. You know, I'll read the actual definition. Pickle fall. When a podcaster or any other digital professional begins playing pickleball as a way to get exercise, but very soon after beginning, they fall and injure themselves during a pickleball match. Here's the example sentence. Yo, did you hear about Erin's pickle fall? She can't podcast her Substack for like 8 weeks. I thought that was crazy. That feels very specific.
That is.
I thought to ask if you're doing a bit or not, but then Jamie's answer was so good, so fast that I was like, holy crap. I think this is a real one on Urban Dictionary.
No, that's.
This is real.
It's crowdsourced. It can be real.
I'm looking at it on Urban Dictionary. It's submitted by Dan Bryn Fraser. I don't know what that means. That's crazy though. It's weird. It's really specific. So all that to say, Urban Dictionary is a land where we learn new ideas, new words. It's a beautiful, glorious place.
Yes,
so I'm really excited to do this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to our first word, Jamie. This is called good damage. And good damage comes from BoJack Horseman. Did you watch BoJack Horseman?
Yes.
Okay, I never did. The phrase means damage that helps or contributes to yourself in a positive way. The opposite is bad damage, which only serves to make you an angry, regretful person. Plain damage fits in there too. Plain damage is just a type of trauma and hurt that just stays there, doing virtually nothing. Kind of like how the meteor that killed the dinosaurs leaves damage on the earth, but the damage changes little to nothing about the area. Jamie, how do you feel about good damage?
Okay, I love this. First of all, how is the meteor like not I just don't know how you could just throw in the meteor and be like, that way everything worked out.
I had a little issue there because they're calling it, I think they're calling it plane damage or bad damage. That's actually good damage.
Yeah.
Because the meteor, when it killed all the dinosaurs, guess who it set the stage for? The mammals. That's us, right?
That's us.
Because all the big boys were killed out. So that allowed us to evolve and get those history corner music, please, Jason.
Thank you.
Allowed us to like really proliferate there. So I disagree with the definition and that fact, but everything else makes
sense. Yes, and keep the history music because I was looking up like, what is something that it went through a chaotic season, but it ended up being great. And my favorite thing on the planet, the thing I think about every night before I go to sleep is coffee. Oh. And in the 17th century, coffee was referred to as the drink of Satan. And Pope Clement VIII had the grant and approval of the dark drink in 1615 so that it could be consumed in Venetian coffee houses.
Whoa. Like,
it's not the drink of Satan. So that is a tough thing. That's some bad damage. People who missed out on coffee because they thought it was of the devil.
Also,
in the early days of electricity, many people were electrocuted. But we now have cute little lanterns on our front porches that they wiggle like gas.
Look, that's a great point. I feel like we don't talk enough about the early days of electricity where, you know, there are some people like, that's of the devil. You know, there are some people who just got killed because they didn't know how to handle
it. So many people got killed.
I think we all agree electricity is a good thing. But in those first few days, it's probably kind of tough.
Also, personal good damage is that in my 20s, I was dating a guy named Jake, and he told me when we broke up that my voice was grating and my ideas were too simple. Mm. Well, suck it, Jake. How you like selling that insurance?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Jake from State Farm?
You doing?
Suck on those.
I wish
can't even get in the good press
State
box.
State Farm, I know.
Yeah. I would say a good way to understand the damage that this definition laid out, plain damage. I think that's like, hypothetically, when your ad network doesn't return your emails or won't find anyone to speak with you. Don't shake your heads. Bad damage is when your ad network won't tell you what they're selling your ads for. And then I would say good damage is when your ad network, again, this is all hypothetical. I don't know why you guys are taking this personal, forgets to pay you over $150,000 over several months. Those are ranges of damage, you know? And I feel like some
they
can
are.
Be like devastating, but some can be instructive. Long story.
I know. I always think it's weird when a company, because this just happened recently to Theo Von. Like, I don't understand why a company who, like, why they're not paying you on time when you literally make a show where you talk to people and you can tell them all the things if you want.
I know. I'm glad we don't have to deal with that. And we haven't had to deal with those emotions and the processing of those. Right, Jamie?
That's true.
Because that would be difficult.
Live editor's note, we're definitely all talking about Theo Von the entire time. And that's how we leave this all in. Okay?
Yeah, that sounds good. I agree with that. Next word, Dark Romeo. This is an interpretation of Romeo Montague. I like that they gave his last name. They don't give his last name enough.
No,
you know?
Why do they not? Because it's the Capulets and the Montagues. It's a family issue. Why are we giving the family name?
I would like, you know, King Henry Smith. King Henry, like, what's his last name? What that last name do?
King Henry's last name is Johnson.
Yeah. Interpretation of Romeo Montague from Romeo and Juliet, great clarification, that features the guy having dark and creepy tendencies. It ranges from stalker-like behavior to going full nuts after losing his Juliet. Jamie, how do you feel about this definition?
I love this definition because I do think they're, and I've learned a lot about these fellas on TikTok when a woman is like, hey, I tried to break up with this guy and then he burned down my house.
Okay.
Which, guys, listen,
don't do that.
Just go to therapy. Come on.
Yeah. Coach Knox tip, arson is really a last resort.
Like,
maybe
you're going
the most
to prison.
Last.
I don't know what you think. But listen, a perfect example of this in pop culture for me is for sure Drake. Drake is a classic dark Romeo. Here's why. Writes poetry, takes photos. If you go to his Instagram right now, he loves the sunset.
Okay.
He does. But then he's also the same guy who will write this B-word lie about getting shot, but she's still a stallion. Well, that the guy that shot her is serving 10 years. So that's first issue.
The government thinks it happened. So I don't know what to tell you.
I know. And then Drake says, my favorite line is, I blow a $500 million on you hoes. I'm a feminist. No. No, 100%.
Well, it just depends on how he blows the $500,000. I would
ask Rihanna how she feels about Drake, and that will tell you all you need to know about.
Man, I'm never going to get used to calling her Rihanna. Just to be
honest,
that's
her name. And listen, I even heard her makeup artist in a interview recently, and she made reference to her, and she called her Rihanna. And I was like, okay,
I'm happy for her. I want to respect her. I'm celebrating everybody and everybody's pronunciation. I'm just telling you.
What if they called you Noakes? What if everybody was like, well, I just think it's Noakes?
Okay, that would be fine if I said, hey. By the way, I didn't want to tell you, but actually it's Noakes. Actually, it's Nash. My name's Nash. I don't know. Tennessee City's got confused, but now I'd like, would be a grace period.
I would rather you be Memph.
You would rather me be MILF? Is that what you said?
No, Memph. Memph, wow. As in Memph. Memphis.
Okay. Freesboro. It's kind of a fun name, I think. Yeah. I thought you were targeting me because you're like, writes poetry, likes the sunset. Oh. I also like those things. But then I believe Megan Thee Stallion.
I was going to say, so how do you feel about her getting shot?
Not great.
And to be fair, you rarely say all you hoes. So.
I've never. When I first saw this definition, I wanted to, this feels like reductive now, but I wanted to have the conversation. What percent chance is Travis Kelce a dark Romeo? Like, is it?
Oh, no.
Is it 10%?
No.
Is it single digits percent?
He's a pasty lime Romeo. He's like, because wow. Listen, I read that he told one of the security guards at the SNL after party, he got this.
Yeah. Hey, dog, you're a tight end and you don't even block. Okay. You don't got nothing.
No, you just catch the ball. I don't understand. Like,
yeah, linebacker, defensive end, maybe we're talking, but a tight end, a pass catching tight end in this economy, no, thank you, sir.
No.
I had for the sports heads out there, I think Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, that could be a dark Romeo if Ohio State or Penn State beat
them. Is he the coach?
He's the coach. He's the extremely, extremely dad coach. He feels like a dad that could be on a Lifetime movie in a not good way, you know?
Michigan is undefeated, and I learned that from SNL.
They are undefeated. They are cruising. It's looking great, but they got Penn State and Ohio State coming up. And if they trip up, it could go like really balls against the wall. Also, I'm gonna toss it, stay in the sports realm. I'm gonna toss Aaron Rodgers in there. I'm gonna toss Aaron Rodgers. You know, he's kind of been on the fringe of some beefs. You know, when the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce thing happened, he started feuding with Travis Kelce because Travis Kelce did a Pfizer commercial. You know, so that's kind of weird. But there's a big energy of like Aaron Rodgers doing a, I don't know, like maybe him being seen on a date with like Nikki Haley or MTG, you know, and just being like, wait, what's going on here? What are we doing?
Didn't Aaron like twist his ankle like and now is out for the whole season?
His Achilles did explode. So it was a little more than a twisted ankle.
Well, but it looked frail, you can tell, when I watched the playback.
It's old man frail. That feels like something like my
so
Achilles.
Is he
going to
just keep playing? Like, why is he just retired?
Well, he's not playing, but he wants to come back. But he more than anything, he wants to be in the conversation. That's the frustrating part.
He is probably the oldest looking person of his age on the planet.
Ooh.
He has a very aged face.
He does have a very aged face. I will agree with you on that.
My other, well, and in the, what I feel like is a perfect Aaron Rodgers comparison is the other dark Romeo that I would take from pop culture is Ross Geller. He dated a student. He was aroused by his cousin that time, played by Denise Richards.
I love this so much, Jamie. Please keep going. This is my favorite. This is might be my favorite thing you've ever done because I can't stand either of them.
He cheats on Julie. The mistress can be your lobster, but it's still cheating. Okay. He says the wrong name at his second wedding to Emily. He shows up at his lobster's work and is jealous of all the men at her office, even though they're mid at best. He dates Joey's ex, which is his lobster, even though that's his best friend's ex. After they broke up, he also dates Charlie after Joey Drake breaks up with her. I hate him. Listen, we do a Friends pilot program episode that comes out Friday for BFOTS, and we talk about Ross. But I didn't get enough time or bandwidth or runway to talk about how much I hate Ross, and this is where I have brought it here to you today.
That's good. I'm glad that you've corrected the record on Thank Ross you. Here. Does Ted Mosby qualify as a dark Romeo? Would that follow suit?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I feel like there's a lot of Ross vibes with Ted as well, you know, in that
comparison. If you show up at my house with a French horn, we're out. I'm done.
Any instrument, really. If you're bringing any instrument, there's no need for it. You know, there's just no need at all.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Aura Frames. I am super excited to share that this brand is not only Knox and Jamie approved, but more importantly, it's Chuck and Jan approved. Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected frames with unlimited storage, so you can share as many photos as you want from your phone and they just magically appear on the frame. If Chuck and Jan aren't enough of an endorsement, it's also been named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter. It's such a fun gift for all ages. Do you know what my favorite part of the Aura frame is? I haven't been called over to Chuck and Jan's house even once for like Tech Sunday to like set it up, to fix it. It's truly the perfect set it and forget it gift in the best way possible. I was over to their house for Easter dinner. My niece sent all the adorable photos we had taken of my cutie patootie great nephews to Chuck and Jan's Aura Frame. And it was so easy and seamless and fun to have the photos show up before we even left the house. Jan is the most difficult person to buy gifts for. And I was excited to see how much she loves her Aura Frame because I immediately decided to get one for her bedside table for Mother's Day this year. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code podcast at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by our amazing sponsor, Olive & June. As a longtime user, like 6 years, and a huge fan of Olive & June, I still can't get over how easy and convenient their Manny systems are. Between hosting 2 podcasts, planning a live show, and our latest merch launch, I haven't had much time for like self-care and sitting around at a salon for hours. No time, but I do love having pretty nails, and it's during these busy, hectic times that I'm especially thankful for Olive & June. Their Manny and Petty systems come with everything you could possibly need to have salon-worthy nails genuinely at home whenever you want them, even if you only have 5 minutes. I love how Olive & June, they've created products for those of us with a lot on our plates who maybe are not great at doing their nails. Like, I don't have a ton of skill set. And look, they've made it easy. The number of times I've done my nails in a rush as I'm about to run out the door and then end up smudging them, it's super embarrassing. You'd think I'd learn by now, but no more. Olive & June's line of tab press-ons are a life hack I never want to live without. They're so easy to put on and come in different sizes, so you can always find the perfect fit for you. They look so real and they last like 10 or more days, and they're not damaging like gel. I love that I can order them as part of the Manny system with up to 4 different tab sets. It's the perfect time-saving prezi for myself. Visit oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/podcast for 20% off your first system. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Has everyone's social calendar suddenly picked up, or is it just me? This is that magical time of the year when I can actually enjoy a patio lunch with Jan or just be outside for longer than 10 minutes without immediately regretting every life choice. You know what I mean? Since this beautiful weather only lasts about 5 days in Alabama, it's always tempting to cram in as many social gatherings as possible, for I need to limit myself to indoor-only activities, and it can be easy to ignore my social battery and spread myself too thin. As an extrovert, I tend to thrive around people, and I always thought the more the merrier when it came to social commitments. Therapy has been super helpful in giving me the self-awareness I needed to build a social life that does not drain my battery. Being able to not only recognize my boundaries, but be able to enforce them has been so helpful in creating some balance in my life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Since it's entirely online, the convenience truly cannot be beat, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/podcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/podcastpod.
Next word, Big Dipper. Okay, this is very obvious. One who dips to excess, a libertine of sauces. If a sandwich is being eaten, 4+ mustard varieties must be smeared in overlapping pools on the plate. If a hot, there's a lot of specificities that go into it, but basically someone who uses a lot of dipping sauces. Jimmy, how do you feel about this definition?
Listen, I am the biggest dipper of all the dippers. Today I was coming into the office, coming into the studio, and I got some chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A. And I was like, oh, I want 4 sauces. And they were like, you can have 1. We are shorthanded. We don't have enough.
First of all, they anchored on one. Did you push back, or did you just like, I get one?
I pushed back and I was like, can I have more than one? And she was like, no, we can only do 1. Now they gave me 18 lemons in my sweet tea, but I could only get 1 sauce. So I picked a sweet and spicy sriracha, which is an unexpected delight, by the way.
That's a good one.
It's so good. But I love, the idea that I would eat a nugget without a sauce, without an accompanying sauce, or a sandwich with a dipping sauce is magic. It's magic.
Now, I'm not saying with dipping sauce, because that's trying to land a spaceship into a parking garage. And that's kind of crazy. That's a crazy energy that you're bringing.
You got to bite in a way that gets you a point.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Or hear me out. What if you just put it on the sandwich? What if you just lay it on that first layer?
That's fine. You don't get the volume. Plus it makes the bread that you've toasted and you've put all that energy to, it makes it a little soggy. I don't like that.
I do think a dry nugget, it's like a dry shave. Like, what are you doing? That's anarchy. That's pure anarchy.
Oh, absolutely not.
Can I ask, you showed Jason and I before we started recording that you took blood today. And what you showed us looked like a Rambo wound.
I look like a normal person in a war. It's very.
She showed us that she gave blood today. She did not take blood.
It looked like you took fire from an Uzi. Cover fire from an Uzi in your arm.
The woman was like, "What? Okay, is this your arm? Can they ever get blood out of you?" And I'm like, "Well, no, all the time." And I was making the fist so it would be easier for her. I was trying to be supportive. I'm trying to be the best patient ever. And right. She was like, "No, I'm gonna have to do a butterfly. They do a butterfly every time, right?" And I'm like, "They've never done a butterfly. We're doing it today." And I said, "Well, I'm gonna look away since you probably don't need my help."
Yeah.
Because it was like, I felt like we were opening me up and trying to touch my tibia. I don't know.
See, I think that's in your leg.
I don't think that's right. Is your tibia in your leg?
Nailed it.
But you don't know. You don't understand how deep they had to go to get that blood.
They had to go so deep.
I go the other way. I say, I'm the best blood giver. It's so easy. So I give them a real confidence. And then if they hit any impasse, then they get really self-conscious. And they're like, I can't be the only person who can't get blood out of this guy, even though I'm like, I'm a mediocre blood giver at best.
No. And note for the audio, Jamie has a 6x6 bandage in the middle of her forearm.
She does.
Usually I get the smallest kid's Band-Aid right on the crease of on the inside of my elbow, but they took blood
from
Jamie's forearm.
I got to go to the plastic surgeon after this, because that's my cute forearm too.
Her arm looks like when Iron Man, after he did the snap and right before he died, that's what her arm looks like. And I don't think it's supposed to look like that.
Okay, listen, when you're talking about Big Dippers, okay, what is the, like, if we're just talking about fast food, like, what's your go-tos? What are the best of the best in the arena?
Now, see, I've kind of, I hate that you asked me this because I'm going to feel like I'm shaming you. I've kind of leveled up. I don't rely on the fast food restaurants to give me sauces anymore. I've now kind of graduated to, I make my own sauces. I have my own reservoirs of goodness. So I don't need like a teenager who is like trying to pass chem class to give me enough Zach sauces. I don't rely on that anymore. Listen, I make my own concoctions.
How dare you? These small businesses that have become big businesses that underpay their employees, they work hard on those sauces.
They do.
And I want to honor them. I'm going to get that McDonald's honey and hot mustard. Mm-hmm. Both the honey and the hot mustard mix. Listen, I love a blackened ranch from Popeyes. I will sometimes go to Popeyes and be like, I have two orders and I need 8 blackened ranches for each, because I'm trying to create something for my house, for like my salad.
And you're creating lottery tickets, because the odds of you getting the right order and sauces from Popeyes is 10%. So I like that you're taking a lot of shots there.
That's right. And then I will say, I have finally, because we have a lot of listeners who love Raising Cane's and always get mad at us because we never reference it when we're chatting about chicken. I finally had the Raising Cane's cane sauce. I think it is a delight. It is like it's like a Thousand Island. It's a very you could make it a salad dressing. It's that good.
So people are getting hyped for Thousand Island, but in like a little packet. That's amazing.
But no, like, but it's called cane sauce.
Yeah. Okay. No, that makes it all the difference. That makes a lot of sense. You know, I've got a lot of tinctures and potions that incorporate horseradish. There's a jalapeno popper dip blend that I use for some of my foods that I really enjoy. I do think, you know, criminally underrated is the Papa John's spicy garlic. You know, you can do a lot of things with that. Not just pizza.
Any garlic or that garlic. God,
yeah.
I could.
And I'm even okay if it hardens, if it congeals. Okay with that. I'm all right with that completely. Let me, for my daughter, like, and my nephew, they kind of have similar birthdays. So, Ashley's side of the family, we all went to a Japanese steakhouse. And you know, the guy comes around, he's like, you know, ginger sauce, hot sauce, like he does the whole thing. And for one of my nephews, he asked for 4 white sauces. Okay. And the guy, I didn't have any problem with it. I was like, great, man, go off young king. But the chef reacted. He moved backwards and was like, "Skr?" And like kind of was a little judgmental about it. And that's the first time I've ever seen the chef kind of judge the white sauce
amount, or because he wasn't getting the ginger sauce and he wanted only the yum yum, or what?
You know, I don't want to put words in his mouth or like in his reaction, but it seemed like he was okay with 3 white sauces because they give you the 3 little trays.
Right.
But my nephew was like, 3 and 1 extra tray and more white sauce, please. And the guy was just like aghast. He couldn't believe it at all. Have you ever gone to a Japanese steakhouse?
I'm sorry. I lived in America, the beautiful.
Listen, I'm thinking about you at a Japanese steakhouse. There's so much happening on the grill. There's also other conversations happening. Also, your need to engage with the chef. I just...
Oh, 100%. It's an ADHD dream. I go in unmedicated and I'm like, let's go. I'm going to catch a shrimp. I'm going to talk to my friends. I'm going to talk to this lovely couple from the suburbs who's come out for their 50th anniversary.
Right.
I'm also going to talk to that chef while he makes that little train, that little choo-choo train that goes down the thing. I love it. Because listen, you know why you engage with the chef? Extra fried rice.
More rice. Extra That's fried exactly rice. Right.
You can't be an a-hole. You're not going to get extra fried rice.
I just didn't know if you had the capacity. I felt like you would be exhausted after. Like that would be your Jordan flu game. You know, someone would have to carry you out to the car and just be like, oh, wow. This one, I don't know, like, you know, we're kind of fancy in Tennessee. This one has a robot that would bring sushi for the people who order sushi. And like it plays music and it rolls right up. So I don't even know.
I think that's so disrespectful to the chef, though. He's like, look, I got a whole grill in front of me. And you're like, no, I want it raw in my tummy.
Don't like that. But, you know, if we're going to be judgmental about sauces, I do want them to get checked a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next definition. I think this is a perfect segue, especially given what we just talked about. This is called little fresh meat. And this is young, cute, handsome, and innocent looking, keyword looking, male celebrities or male idols can refer to ordinary guys who fit the criteria. Jamie, when you're thinking about this definition, do you have anybody who fits this?
Listen, this is my favorite thing. I'm thinking about a little fresh meat. Listen, I saw somebody running this morning. I was like, ooh, that's a little fresh meat too. Okay. Who are you? Okay. Who are you?
How certain were you on the age?
No, I was not. So I backed out. Wow. I didn't like look too close because I was like, oh, this could be problematic. Anyway, even though I was like, shouldn't you be in school? It's 8:15, but maybe this is their running class. I don't know.
Did you offer to take the child to school? Did you say, hey, you want to get in my car?
Oh, I can't do that. Bad boys, what you gonna do? I can't try to say legal in 2023. Here's the thing. Tom Blythe, the new little fellow that's playing Snow in the Ballad of Songs and Drains and whatever.
Yep, you got it. That's the name.
Like, he's a cutie because he's normally brunette, but obviously has white hair in this. And I like him. I say little fresh meat because even though they're innocent looking, he is innocent looking, but I know that he's just looking. He's not like deep down innocent.
Sure.
I love that. And then
he's got a little game show face, game show host face. To me right
no,
now.
He does. He could hold a skinny mic. I love it.
Right.
Kelvin Harrison Jr. Okay. So he was in Elvis. He played B.B. King. He was in the Trial of the Chicago 7. He played the lead in Chevalier. If you saw that, it was okay, but he was hot in it. But he's going to be playing MLK in a TV series called Genius. He's going to be playing Jean-Michel Basquiat, the artist.
Got it.
And then he's in a new movie called Odessa. And he just looks... And Chevalier, I was like, do I need to go back in time where you could blastic my pickle? I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Perfect I was interested
usage.
In him.
Perfect usage.
And then finally, my last little fresh meat, which I just discovered. And I know a lot of you are like, we've already been here, done that. But he's a little new fresh meat for me. And that's Noah Kahan. Little stick season indeed. Stick season indeed. He can pop my folk. What?
Ooh.
Listen, he is like if Boy Genius was a guy from Vermont. He's adorable. I am obsessed with him, even though he looks like he could use one extra bath a week, but still he's adorable. Very innocent, very lovely. And the music is dope. I really do love that album.
Yeah. I had a listener recommend him to me. Big fan, added to my Spotify list. I guess duets with Zach Bryan on Sarah's Place. It's like a half album he released. I'm confused on like what happened, but it's like a EP or something. It's a really good song as well. So that's a good call. So none of the Stranger Things guys made your list. Like no Stranger Things kids?
No, because they are playing teenagers and I need the closest I can get to playing a teenager is Edward from Twilight. And it's only because I know he's 200 and so it's fine.
Or the kid running by your house this morning. Either one of those.
Or the kid running by my house. But listen, I'm trying to stay 22 and above.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know some of them are, but they are playing tiny. Like I was introduced to them as tiny little babies.
Yeah. I like that you Price is Righted Leo and you were like, I'll take 22 and above, Bob. Like that's how you landed that. That's smart. That's
but
good stuff.
22 feels like they've had a year to drink.
Yep.
They can't rent a car though. Maybe I should up the age.
And that's important. That is an important part. Okay, next word, Jamie, this is called thrift threat. Thrift Threat is a noticeably trendy indie individual in a thrift store whom you know will take all the good clothes before you.
I know. Listen, look, to be fair, if it is not on a mannequin, I do not know how to style clothes. Like, I will walk into Anthropologie and go, I would like what's on this little mannequin right here. Yeah. And then they go, we don't sell your size in store, but we will charge you $700 for it online. I'm like, okay, I want it. Now, here's the thing. Thrift stores, for the most part, carry like one Ava and Viv stretched out V-neck and a universal standard pair of jeans that only Charlize Theron could wear.
Yeah.
But we have a longtime listener, Julie Van Heusen. She's a longtime listener. She thrifts her house and her closet. I followed her on Instagram for a long time. She actually, bonus, she designed our I Survive sticker pack in our merch shop. But I am not a thrift, I'm not good at thrift storing because I like to get like dishes and kitchen stuff, but I'm not good at like, what will this look good with? Other people can walk in and go, oh, I can make 18 out. They're like capsule eyeballs and they can just make capsule wardrobes out of everything. And I'm just like, well, that's another white shirt I can own. Yay. Yeah. Like, I don't know how to stop.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a veteran of the thrift stores. That it was where I exclusively shopped in high school for all my t-shirts. My, the gem of my collection was a Tennessee Junior Miss finalist t-shirt that I wore everywhere. So but also, after marriage, I've tagged along many a trip to a thrift store with Ashley. And when I saw this definition, I was like, oh, this is Ashley.
If you see Ashley her in the thrift store, threat, 100%.
She's pilfered it. She's completely like picked it clean.
You can walk into it. I can walk into a vintage shop and I'll be like, well, that's a lot of pictures of horses.
Yeah.
And I won't. And then Ashley can go into a thrift store and she'll be like, look at this lamp. And then look how I'm going to like style it on this.
Yeah. She's like, I'm going to scrape all the wood and stain it. I'm like, what are you talking about, dude? That's ridiculous. Get out of here.
That's like making your own dips. That's ridiculous.
Now, that's a different kind of genius. I agree with you. Thank you, Jamie. Since I mentioned Ashley, her and her friend Amy, they've launched this a store called Shop Aster Era, where they're doing this kind of thing. They're curating kind of launches and capsules for leading lady either type characters or archetypes. So if you want to check them out, you just go to Instagram, search Shop Aster Era online. You can follow them.
I'm following them. I'm so excited.
Yeah, they're very good. They're very stylish, almost intimidatingly so. So make sure you check that out. Next word, lifestyle creep. This refers to the phenomenon where an increase in income leads to an increase in non-essential expenses, things you don't really need. When this happens, things that used to be luxuries become your new normal and you perceive them as if they were essentials. Jamie, how do you feel about this word?
Well, I don't like this. This feels very judgmental. Why can't I have nice things?
Feels very
pointed. I can afford them. If I don't go into debt for them, why can't I have nice things? Now, listen, I will say there are certain things that I still think are ridiculous. Like in my head, I go, I could never. You know, and listen, this is a double standard in every way, because I could be like, when someone has a handbag that costs $5,000, I'm like, what is going on? And then I get like with my Walmart purse on and fly first class. So I've spent it all on that. Something that you cannot get back. But I do have lifestyle creep. I will admit that.
Yeah.
And I have allowed myself to go to some places I'm probably not proud of, and nor is my bank account on this day where we're recording and we have just paid our taxes. So
it's tough right now. It's a tough day for, I won't put words in your mouth, but it's a tough day for your boy here. Just took it on the chin, financially speaking. So, you know, it is what it is, but I would say, you know, I'm watching this, like I have, you know, I would probably say like, mine's like, There's a hot crouton spot around the corner. Sometimes I'll get croutons to go, and when I get that package,
just get croutons.
First of all, I don't like your tone. I thought this was a safe space. I didn't judge you.
No,
when you said anything,
she has the correct tone. She has the correct tone.
Get out of here. Turn your mic off. Get out of here.
When you and croutons, she has the correct tone.
But they're good. But you can use them for multiple meals.
You just come in and you're like, hi, can I pick up my croutons? The croutons.
Yeah, that's right. I'm crouton guy. Part of me is like, man, I don't like being the crouton guy, and I know I'm the crouton guy. There's 100% chance.
No, but there's somebody in there that's like, I love that guy. He just gets croutons. That's so cool.
Because I don't even like the way they make salads. Okay, the way they use lettuce. It's very,
moist on them lettuce, suddenly.
And I don't like that. I'm a more of a broccoli based, trying to go superfoods to counteract the croutons.
Right.
You know, when I'm not making them, etc. So stuff like that. But I'm watching this in my kids. I watched my son DoorDash Five Guys, and I was like, "What are you doing right now? Like, you're wasting money." And then I'm looking in the mirror, I'm like, "Hey, bro, you ordered two containers of croutons twice last week. Like, who's really the problem here in this situation?
Listen, no, this is true, because I was shopping with my friend Sophie Hudson of the Big Boo Cast, and she convinced me to buy Glamorous Detergent. That is literally the name of it, is Glamorous Detergent.
Good brand.
For like $80, I could make my sheets smell good, and I think I overused it. My mother came in and goes, "Did you spill perfume, honey? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I know. I don't know why it smells so strong in here. It's so intense." But listen, the idea that we are buying fancy detergent, it is psychotic. But then I also recognize that I have a robot vacuum that I've named R2-Dust2, and I have a robot mop that I named Princess Spraya. And if anything happened to them, I would replace them immediately, because that did happen, and I did replace that robot vacuum immediately.
I've got a lot of issues with Princess Spraya, to be honest. That's crazy. That's crazy naming right
there. Princess Spraya is perfect, because it's a spray mop.
No, I got it. I'm just saying, that's wild. A couple years ago, Ashley bought detergent that smells like the detergent they use at the Grand Floridian, and I was like, this feels like the peak of opulence.
Now that's fancier.
Yeah. The fact that you know what like the Grand Floridian bedding smells like, and that you can buy detergent that smells like that and replicates it. I was like, wow, what a world.
And listen, I think it's all about balance. If I want to fly first class, I can fly first class, because I also eat fruit spins instead of Fruit Loops. I get the generic cereals because they taste exactly the same, because they're made by the same company. You guys, they're all owned by Walmart. They're all making the same thing.
And see, I look at croutons as a fitness lifestyle investment, you know, because it helps me eat more salads. You know what I mean? Helps me stay more healthy with the broccolis and the carrots. And
see, what I would do is get the croutons and then just dip them in that blackened ranch that I've ordered from Popeyes.
Listen, what if you just have a crouton salad? What if you build a whole salad of croutons?
Why can you not do that? Add some bacon bits and some cheese. Sounds like a good time.
That place loves when you come in, because the margin on croutons is insane. And they're like, "You want any steak? You want anything that we have lower margins on?" And they're like, and you're like, "Nah, just the croutons."
Have you ever heard a song on the radio and felt like it was written about you? That's why I'm so excited to share about our new sponsor, Songfinch. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist. I'm on their website right now, and I'm about to create my very first song. They've made it so easy. When you go to songfinch.com/podcast, all you have to do is click the big orange button that says start your song. In order to make the songs entirely original and personalized, they ask questions like, who are you creating this song for, and what's your inspiration? You get to pick the artist who creates the song for you, or you can have Songfinch help you by selecting between genres, vocal styles, vibe, and tempo. You can get as detailed and personalized as you like, but the process couldn't be easier for a songwriting novice like myself. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anytime, anywhere. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too, songfinch.com/podcast.
With our live shows coming up in June, I've obviously started doing a little shopping. It's always so fun to look for live show outfits and accessories and go through my travel checklist to see what might need a refresh. I don't need much of an excuse to get myself a Prezi, but one of the things I have on my list that I need to get before the new show is a new sun top from Pear Eyewear. Wearing my Pear Eyewear eyeglasses on travel days is probably one of my favorite life hacks, especially if you have an early morning flight. Who wants to wake up and have to deal with contacts before you have to get on a plane? Throwing on my glasses and then adding the sun top when I need them is just so much more convenient. I think the brushed rose sun top might be the perfect one to add to my collection. Pear sun top frames start at just $30 and the prescription glasses start at only $60. Don't forget that you can save even more by using pre-tax FSA and HSA dollars, and they always have free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PairEyewear.com, code POP.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I wish I'd planned it like this, but the next word is disorder salad.
Love it.
This is the random assortment of disorders someone claims to have for attention, typically on TikTok, Tumblr, or other social media platforms. Jamie, how did you feel about this?
Listen, this is my favorite because my favorite thing is to see a TikToker who is accused of something, fill in the blank, and they're normally guilty of it, racism, misogyny, homophobia. And then they're like, you guys, I'm autistic. You're just like, you can't just suddenly be autistic. Like you can't just like swing that out of the gate to us. I was trying to think, do I have many disorders? I don't have a ton, but I have ADHD, seasonal allergies, vitamin D deficient, and I have cankles. And I assume that right now I have toxic shock syndrome today specifically.
Great.
But listen, I would like a disorder that I could have. Like, I would like a disorder salad so that I could get like a support panda.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That would be good. You also have shotgun blast forearm from the bandage I'm looking at. So make sure you write that down.
Listen, would you like to hear which of... Okay, I'm going to give you two disorders and you tell me which one you would rather have.
Okay.
Okay. Anal glaucoma.
Ooh.
Or elevated porcelain levels.
This feels like a trap because it feels like just on reaction, you don't want to have anal glaucoma, but it feels like that's the actual one that you want to have given what you're laying out here.
Listen, anal glaucoma is you don't see that butt coming. That's what anal glaucoma is. And then elevated porcelain levels are you are a frail, fragile b-
Like I came up with some that I wanted to see if you guys... If you guys also suffer from it, because I feel like I suffer from them.
Okay. Let's go.
This is nighttime couch paralysis when you've fallen asleep during a TV or movie and all you have to do is get up and go to bed, but you just can't do it. You stay on that couch the rest
Guilty.
Of the night. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that doesn't happen to me because I don't work hard during the day. Okay. So I can stay awake. I don't have the children.
Okay. This isn't frostbite. This is scroll bite. And this is when you're scrolling so long on social media that your arm, hands, feet, or something falls asleep. And you have to use it and you scream because it hurts so bad.
Listen, can I be honest? I just spent $19 during Prime Days buying a little ring that you wear on your finger.
Right.
That you push a button. It's a Bluetooth. And you push a button and it scrolls up and down through your TikToks. And now
what's happening, right?
Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty in this safe space. But please say everything you just said again. What now?
I know. So it's this little, it's almost like a gadget you wear, but it goes on your ring finger.
Okay.
And you hit it with your thumb because it's Bluetoothing and it's a scroll up motion on your phone. So I can set my phone up on my little duvet, like a crook in my duvet. And then I just click my finger and it scrolls up for me. I don't have to reach over to my phone.
So you're doing sign language like Amy Gugurilla from the iconic movie Congo, but it's for more TikTok.
For more TikTok. But the only time it ruins it, because I have a time limit. I have a time limit on TikTok for 1 hour a day.
That's good.
And look at that restraint. Eventually I have to get up and be like, no, put in my code. I want to watch more.
So I bought another Bluetooth device that automatically puts in my code.
I'm not proud of how lazy I am, but so be it.
I can't believe they invented something like that. That's incredible.
They invented it. It comes in five colors, you guys. We'll put it in the show.
What color did you get?
I got pink.
I thought you were going to explain, Knox, that was when you drop your phone on your face.
Yeah.
But Jamie has solved that. She's not going to have phone-to-face injuries
anymore. And that does happen to me because when I'm doing my TikToks, it does fall on my face. But now it doesn't because I got that on Prime Day and it
safety
works
first.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's
PMG,
TikTok glaucoma.
PMG, safety first.
And it stays charged for like a week.
That's good stuff.
It's pretty good. Because
all it's doing, it's like,
that's
the ordering
battery.
Croutons of the digital Bluetooth world.
That's why I don't fall asleep, because I'm not doing much, you guys.
I think it's
I'm
good.
Not doing much. Yeah.
There's also CSPD, and this is cultural slow processing disorder. And that's when you see like Ice Spice or Morgan Wallen, and you're like, I don't get it. Like, what's the gift here? What's the talent?
I do think Ice Spice is talented.
Okay. Okay.
But I am confused by the Orphan Annie hair. I don't understand it completely, but I appreciate her talent. Like,
sure.
And the way that Taylor Swift has used her as a prop. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
fine.
Okay. Yeah. I want to understand. I've got to that age where I'm like, I don't get it, but I'm sure someone else does. Can you explain it to me, please? And that's just what I'm.
You know what Aaron has right now? Concrete poisoning. Is it too soon?
Well, because she had a pickle fall, right?
She had pickle fall and got concrete poisoning from her pickle fall.
Next word, empathy. And this is the disproportionate empathy extended in the direction of men we make too many excuses for. Jamie, how'd you feel about this?
Listen, I feel like, again, I just, as someone, we talked about this in The More You Know, because I am someone that's going through perimenopause, and I have complained at length about the fact that the fact that nobody can understand something that literally every woman on the planet goes through, and doctors are like, we don't know. It's just, but there are 17 pills to get a Diglett hard. So can we help you with that? No, you can't help me with that. Help me figure out why I have brain fog. But I will say empathy right now, and it has brought me the most joy. I mean, I don't want for people to be sad, but watching Ben Affleck have to go through life right now, sad Chucky from Boston, who has to send off Will to find Minnie Driver. He's the sad breakup guy with Gwyneth. He's sad Batman. He's sad Dunkin' Donuts drinker. He's sad PR relationship with Ana de Armas. And he's sad sloppy second to Matt Damon in life. Now he and that precious angel just going, we talked about it at length in The More You Know, but like them just going to McDonald's three times in 1 week. And everybody's like, poor Ben. What do you mean, poor Ben? Like, this is the life Ben chose for himself. This is the life he chose for himself. So,
unfortunately, I think Justin Timberlake is probably a empathy kind of standard. I think Ashton Kutcher in the news. I don't know. On the eve of like Britney Spears' memoir, I don't know how much of a Justin Timberlake empathy situation we're going to get in. But Ashton Kutcher with Danny Masterson is certainly someone who, you know, he's on Shark Tank, and Mila Kunis likes him. So I guess he's a pretty cool guy.
I don't understand that. We got to let these guys go.
Just let them go. I feel like in the sports world, we got Urban Meyer, who even the sat man, Michigan State.
He's still
like,
a person.
He's still a person. Prayers for your Michigan State fans, because there was a pretty sizable contingent. They were like, we could get Urban Meyer. Like, we could be back on track. Things could be good, you know, if we got Urban Meyer. Mm. And like, that's like the last guy you want, given what's going on at Michigan State right now. Okay. Next word. Beekeeping age. This is when an older person, usually a man, around 40 to 50, I object at that age
older.
Range. How dare you? Is attractive. It comes from an episode of Rick and Morty where Summer's friend talks about how she wants to have sex with Jerry, and says he's beekeeping age. Jamie and Jason, did either of you watch Rick and Morty? Does anybody watch Rick and Morty?
I've watched some Rick and Morty episodes, but I have not committed to the bit.
Yeah, I think I've seen some compilation stuff, but I've never actually watched like an episode. So I don't completely understand the context here.
I do like the beekeeping age being a specific 10 years. That like once you're past beekeeping age, you're on to other things. But beekeeping to me is not sexy because of the outfit. Like the costume for beekeeping is too loose and roomy and has, and it covers all the best parts of your beekeeping face.
Think I would like to push the age to 50, 60. I feel like that's actually where the definition wants to be, you
is
know?
Because you don't want to be beekeeping age?
No, but I think you hit on it. I think it's about the sexuality becomes this person's usefulness. It's not their youthfulness, it's their usefulness.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Because honey helps with allergies.
That's right. If someone is a beekeeper, you know they know how to do things. Like if the power goes off for more than 2 days, they're not going to die and just waste away. Like they'll actually know how to connect things. Jason, do you like when you think of beekeeping age, older people, you could say men or women, like who are you thinking of that qualify for this definition?
So around this age, I mean, there's a lot that are attractive, that are useful, maybe not useful, whatever the situation may be. We got Gosling, Gyllenhaal, Chris Pine is in that age range.
See, that doesn't count to me. You know what I mean?
And then here's my top four right now. I've got Hugh Jackman and Logan. He was about that age when he was doing that. That's got a real beekeeping vibe to me. I got number three, Diane Lane in Man of Steel. Diane Lane tried like the rom-com thing. No, I liked her as Clark Kent's mom in Man of Steel in 2013. That was prime Diane Lane to me. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Number two, Bill Hader. I think Bill Hader is trying to be hot. I don't know that it's happening.
Oh, he is not hot. No, 100% not.
But Jamie, think about him back on SNL. He was definitely not
less hot. Less hot.
Barry, he's an assassin, kind of a good guy, bad guy, having a crisis of conscience, figure out what's going on. I think Bill Hader's in there.
Here's the problem. Wait. Bill Hader is too obsessed with Keith Morrison from Dateline. You cannot be hot and be that obsessed with Keith Morrison. It makes
counterpoint.
It seems
that's
weird.
Kind of the coolest
it
thing
seems
ever.
Like you're trying to learn how to commit a crime and get away with it.
Listen,
like that.
I think Bill Hader's secretly kind of a decent stick man because we got Anna Kendrick, we got Rachel Bilson, we got Ali Wong. That's a good roster. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Yes, I'll give you that.
And for me, the number one person that's in beekeeping age right now is James Marsden. I don't think he should be having the moment that he's having, but him in Jury Duty was absolutely incredible. He's incredible in Sonic. I won't hear anything other than that.
I'm
loving the James Marsden era that we are currently in.
How did you feel about him being the voice of Hank in Paw Patrol, the mighty movie?
Jimmy Kimmel's in that. Kim Kardashian's in that. There's a lot of celebrities in these Paw Patrol movies that are absolutely cashing checks. Good for them.
Constellation of stars. It's the Mars Donnaissance. People say that and people know that. You know, when I'm thinking beekeeping age, I think what I'm looking at is like on the younger end of the spectrum, I'm looking at Rick Moranis, you know, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. And then on the older end of the spectrum, Walter Matthau, Dead or Alive, Walter Matthau. Do you guys know?
Unfortunately, he has passed.
For sure.
But I love Walter Matthau. And I loved, what were those Angry Old Men movies that they made with John? I always call him John Lennon. That's definitely not his name. Jack Lemmon. And Walter Matthau, I love those movies.
He did have a John Lennon energy. I think we'll all agree on that, Jason.
Okay,
Thank you.
But let's go back to James Marsden. I was just looking on his IMDb to see what he's got coming up. Like, what's he doing? What's happening?
Are you going
to
be rude? Because, like, you kind of went out of order. So you missed your turn to be rude. So if you're going to be rude now, I just want you to, like,
clarify.
No, I'm
not going to be rude. I want a general reaction to you. He has a film coming out called Unfrosted. Uh-huh. The original title was Unfrosted, the Pop Art Story. It's being directed by Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
That's right.
How do we know that's not like a sequel to How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days? You know, like what happens when you get unfrosted, right?
It's about Pop-Tarts specifically. It's Kellogg's.
I don't know where the marketing
goes,
Jamie. Who knows? Who knows?
I'm very excited for that movie, first of all, because did you all watch the Zach Galifianakis Beanie Babies movie?
Yes, that was cute.
I thought that. So I'm hoping the Pop-Tart movie is going to be like that, and I'm hoping that Jerry Seinfeld, who doesn't want to do more acting and probably shouldn't, has a career behind the camera, because I do like some of the stuff that he does.
No, I agree, and this movie has Melissa McCarthy, Hugh Grant, Christian Slater.
Mm. Hello.
What a weird group of people. I love it.
See?
I don't like that he's directing a movie based on a snack that young girls like to eat, because given his history, just like, watch out, Jerry. You know, like,
that's true. Shoshana was definitely eating Pop-Tarts when he met her.
That's right. Yeah, just be careful. Just be careful. Promise keepers, Jerry. Remember, people don't forget. Okay, that is our conversation on Urban Dictionary. I think we've really helped some people's vocabularies. You know,
you guys,
I
let us know really... which of these you want to use. Like, you're going to start using in your everyday life. I want to know.
Yeah. Please let us know. And as always, if you have thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know on nextgen.com/526. All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights.
All right. What is your red light this week?
Okay. My red light this week, this is a universal complaint and we just need to address it. Okay. If you have a public account on the internet, let's say, for example, Instagram, and you post engagement reels and then engagement photos and then wedding planning and then wedding rehearsal and then the wedding and then the day after the wedding with a caption that reads about last night, dot, 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 and then your honeymoon and then the 1 month anniversary and every month anniversary. And if you shove your partner down our throat with captions like every love story is beautiful, but ours is my favorite, listen, and then you divorce, you have to tell us, okay? You can't pretend. You cannot have shoved your marriage and your love and your affection for each other down our throats for 4 years straight. And then suddenly you just change your username. You just drop your last name and add your middle name as if we're not going to notice. And you just suddenly stop posting that douche. Listen, I have to know. If I have to know what sheets that you and Matthew love the most with an affiliate code, then I'm going to need some divorce paperwork screenshots. Okay. Who's getting the house? How did this end? Who screams the loudest in an Olive Garden when you're arguing about the in-laws? When your heart's compass sends you off a cliff, we go with you, okay? You can't just change that profile name. You have to take us with you. You have to tell us what's going on. You cannot pretend, and you cannot also be like, I know a lot of people are curious. Yeah, of course we're curious, because we know exactly what kind of underwear you wore under that wedding gown because you told us. So I need to know about your divorce. There are several people right now that are getting divorced, and I know they're getting divorced, but they're not telling us. And I'm like, you have to tell us.
The only reason I think they would have to tell is if they charge for the journey, like their marital journey. But if they're not charging and you're just paying with your attention, like they don't know you're refunding your attention. You know, your algorithm's choice.
They got sponsors post based on my eyeballs. I contributed to that sponsor post they got from Third Love Bras. Okay.
But you know what?
The bra that she wore on her canvas, honeymoon.
They get to paint on, and they get to paint whatever they want. You don't get to see.
You
like,
don't
want to
know about the divorces.
No, man. I'm team marriage. I'm rooting for marriages, and if it goes bad, like I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know.
Out of here. Team Jamie, y'all, come be on Team Jamie and sit by me.
Team divorce. What I'm hearing?
No, I just want Team Honesty. If I have to look at that wedding ring one more time every month on the date that you got married,
I
have a right to find out.
You don't have
how
to
much
look.
Was it worth, and did
you
y'all
can
split
mute
the cost
or not consume?
How dare you? How dare you? As if these are not my family members and these are not my colleagues in this work, I have to deal with it. I want to know the truth.
Do podcasters
and
have
by
colleagues?
The way, if you're famous enough, I will find out on Reddit because most courts are public, so we will find paperwork.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
My red light this week is, on Netflix, there's been a bit of a Suits-a-sance. And everyone's watching Suits. Everyone's talking about Suits. Everyone's like, Suits, it's not that bad. It's kind of good. And I think it's like, it's exactly what you need it to be and want it to be. And it's not pretending to be anything else. It's like lunch at a Buffalo Wild Wings. It's not the greatest thing ever. It's not the worst thing ever. It just kind of is. And now I'm seeing that Peacock and other production studios are like, well, you like Suits that much? Guess what? We're going to do more Suits. We're going to spin off Suits. You're going to have Suits coming out of your ears, coming out of your nose. And I would just like to be like, hey, just because everyone watched something on Netflix, that doesn't mean there's a consensus. That doesn't mean like everyone wants to see more of this. And like, are you going to do a prequel? Are you going to do a post-school? You're not going to have Meghan Markle. Are you going to do like the same people? Is this going to be like the new class? Like this is going to be a different law firm? Louis Litt, is he going to be involved? Like, I think people have overestimated the mandate from the people on Suits stuff. And I would just like all of us to hold our horses.
Listen, we're going to get it. Here's why I know we're going to get it is because Patrick J. Adams and Rick Hoffman, stars of Suits, both show up during my cooking game to do ads. And they act like it's super casual. Like, hey, guys, did you know that I freaking love this king who's always in desperate need of being saving? And there are no ads in this game. Like now, like I'm having to deal with you now. Also, did you see, is Netflix, can I just ask you a question? Is Netflix now the CBS of streaming platforms? Because
it's getting close.
Let me say why. Suits was number one for 4 weeks streaming, and it was taken down by Virgin River. That's Chuck and Jan taste in television. Yeah. Okay. And so some of y'all who are hardcore, like, oh, I don't pay for any other streaming service, it's because you love CBS. You're a Big Bang Theory B word. And just own it. Just own it.
Yeah. Just be who you are. Yeah. And like, if you're one of those people who are banging the floor for the new Suits, like that's cool. Just own that. I just don't think it's not as many people as we think there is. So I would short sell or I would short invest in the Suits reboot. I just don't think it's going to be that good.
And please remember that this is not Suits' first spinoff. Jessica Pearson, played by Gina Torres, had a spinoff called Pearson.
I love Gina Torres, by the way.
What an electric fact check, to be honest with you, Jason. I did not know that. This is news to me.
It lasted like 10 episodes, so this next one should be great.
Was on USA Network?
Oh, I'm sure.
Wow.
Or True TV or whatever.
What if they were the right price, Meghan Markle could come back? What if Meghan Markle would come back?
I mean, with Prince Harry.
She's getting close to needing this because I did see she's negotiating with like Audible to do her electric podcast series with them that she did like two episodes for. I would just advise them to not take that deal.
They have no line and they just say that Prince Harry is now playing Mike Ross. Like they just switched out the guy, but it's the same character. Like he's in.
What if they
I'm
just
in.
Made him marry a made her marry a prince? Like that's the storyline for her. It's believable. I would buy that. Okay, Jamie, what is your green light this week?
Okay, we have a mutual green light this week, which is the new TV show Fall of the House of Usher, which it's just going to be one season. So it's done. Like, so you don't have to be like, well, I'll wait until all 18 seasons are out and then I'll, you know. So this comes from Mike Flanagan. Knox and I weirdly have crossover, I think, when it comes to Mike Flanagan, because we both greenlit Midnight Mass last year when it came out. And Mike Flanagan has this great deal with Netflix where he's like, hey, if you'll just make us a series that's kind of creepy and kind of crawly, we'll just let you do whatever you want. And that's exactly what he does. And he makes fantastic things. So this series is based on the writings of Edgar Allan Poe. And at first I was like, there'll be a raven. It'll be exciting. Like I was just nervous that it would be a little cliche. Listen, at the 16-minute mark of the first episode is when I freaked the freak out. And I did not stop freaking out the rest of the time. And not in a scared way. That's what I think I love about Mike Flanagan is that he does have jump scare moments, but you 100% can feel it in your bones that it's coming. And you're just like, you kind of just sit on edge. And I did watch probably 7 whole minutes of one episode with it muted and only reading the lines because I knew something bad was about to happen. And it did. But this is fantastic because this is, listen, let's talk about fresh little meat. Bruce Greenwood. God, yeah. Why is that such a sexy beekeeper?
He's like an American Lucius Malfoy. You know,
yeah, he's
got a big villain face, but he's really good in this.
He's very good. He plays Roderick Usher, who has 6 kids. And you out of the gate, this isn't a spoiler. We see a series of freak accidents has taken out his entire family, the fall of the House of Usher. And the 6 kids are so fantastic. They're so specifically articulated in terms of how different they are. But it's such a niche. Each one is falling into such a specific niche. Listen, my affection for Camille knows no bounds, like what she wears, how she treats her assistants, how she potentially dies. Everything about it is pretty magical. And so I really loved this show. It was the perfect October watch. Like, and I binged it. You don't have to binge it, but I loved it. I thought it was excellent. I think Mike Flanagan continues to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, he's wonderful. I really like the cast of characters, the almost vignette style that he kind of borrows and uses that allows you to really focus on certain people in specific episodes and let other people fall in the background. I've thought Gugino, great use of Gugino in this.
What is she doing? She's great.
Really enjoyed her. There's a little bit of Luke Skywalker in this, which is excellent. But I think it's a very elevated horror. To your point, it's like not the cheap kind of jump scary, just super gore to overwhelm you with. It's a little more thoughtful. The only note I had was like there's a lot of wealth in this show. Like that's kind of the vibe with the kids and like with you know, the family, the Usher family. And it's almost like after you've watched Succession and you see the way that they tell you about how people are when they're wealthy without telling you how they are, you get a little spoiled. So I would have wanted a little bit more of that, you know, of just like understanding how the wealth corrupts these kids beyond like they're very sexy. And none of their houses have decoration or apartments or whatever. But just the creativity of the incorporation of the Edgar Allan Poe stories with each episode, I thought was amazing. I had my doubts. I was a little worried about this, but I really enjoyed this whole
thing. There should be a moment in shows like this where they're like, have you ever been to a Walmart?
Yeah.
Because like families like this have never been to a Walmart.
Yeah. I want like a big family conversation about like, is Raising Cane's sauce the best? And then one person be like, it's just Thousand Island. But someone else be like, that's what makes it good. And be like, wow, this is
a, I know, but like the family, and then they'd be like, what's Thousand Island? They don't know what Thousand Island is. Like they've not experienced a salad bar at a Quincy's. They don't know. That's right.
Yeah. I want one to be in the military and the other one to refuse to salute them or say thank you for their service when they see him in a doctor's office, you know, like really know this blue collar like lifestyle going on. But it's really good. I think people will enjoy it on the CBS of streamers, Netflix. That's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Before you go, remember anytime you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/the podcast first. So you purchase your affiliate link. A favorite item purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is, I think this is the book and it is The Shining.
It is The Shining book, which has 42,000 global ratings, 4.7 stars. That is unparalleled. But let me tell you, you didn't like it. Madison, who spells it E-N at the end.
Oh, whoa.
And she titled her review, is a one-star review. She titled it Personal Opinion, which that's what all these are, Madison. But okay. She said, I did not like this book at all. It was boring. Stephen King definitely did me wrong personally with this one. Well, apologies to you, Madison. All right, you guys, don't forget, you have 2 short weeks to snag some fantastic merch that will arrive at your house in time for the holidays. Head to knoxandjamie.shop and shop today. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.